Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I think the biggest thing for us was getting Alston back today, one of our key components. Santander, he's been doing his thing. Ryan coming through with a really good, great game offensively.
Yeah, just credit to our hitting guys, man. They got me ready, just made some adjustments from what I was doing right before I got hurt. I was able to see immediate results tonight.
I just think not changing anything, honestly. Just same mindset every day. I honestly don't hear guys talking about where we are in the standings or anything like that. It's about winning today's game, and our guys are coming to the park with confidence, and that's what they're trying to do.
Brandon Hyde, Orioles manager. Remember the old TV show, One Day at a Time?
Yeah.
Bonnie Franklin and Valerie Bertinelli.
Uh-huh.
And Schneider.
Yep.
The pervy maintenance man in the apartment complex. Well, Brandon Hyde, not comparing him to Schneider, by the way, but saying it's one game at a time for his Orioles. And that's the mentality that they have. And yesterday, last night, rather, down at Camden Yards, taking on a team they're chasing in the American League wildcard race, they broke out the whipping sticks early and often, hit four home runs last night. And it's a day after, and it's all about that day's starting pitcher, of course. Day after, they had four hits and one run.
Right.
And then they scored one run in a winning effort Friday against the Pirates, and Dean Kramer, his brilliance, helped get that W. But we were talking yesterday about Ryan Mountcastle and Austin Hayes in particular, who had combined for two homers in the month of July and zero homers so far in the month of August. Still early, just started the second week. And then Hayes banged up with the oblique, the new injury that I guess paralyzes a team. An oblique injury can really be detrimental to your team. Seems baseball more than any other, by the way.
I never hear it in football.
Or hockey or NBA.
Yeah.
I mean, Shaq was never out with an oblique injury. And Ross Grimsley, Ken Singleton, Al Bumber, you get it. I believe they may have strained some things on the side, but oblique to the point where it's tricky. It's tricky. You don't know how long you're going to be out. You're going to have to proceed with caution. But either way, it's part of your reality now in Major League Baseball. And Austin Hayes had been dealing with that. Had missed four games in a row, 5 of 6. But he came back last night, two hits, including a homer. Ryan Mountcastle, 2 for 3, a bomb, two ribbies. Arias, again, 1 yard. And I thought that was key last night, Vinny, to get out to the early lead.
No doubt.
I mean, you were stifled on Sunday. You're still kind of running hot because of the play at the plate, I guess. But for Arias off of Kikuchi, not to be confused with Charo Kikuchi-Koo. Three-run bomb to right center field. Nice, impressive shot, by the way. Now you're up three. Lyles can relax a little bit. And then you saw him kind of get into a little bit of a groove. He hung two. Chapman and he gave up the two home runs. And then the Oriole bats kind of took over from there. And they seemed a very much more relaxed team last night, especially after getting the early advantage.
And I think, Bob, like you just said, getting an early lead, I think, was important. Because when you're kind of the underdog, you know, and you're facing, you know, a team that's in front of you, and you're not supposed to really be where you are, and you hadn't played them, hardly at all.
Right.
You know, so you're kind of setting the tempo. And especially, what, in the first inning. Bob, I'm walking around the track, and I had just finished. You know, so I was probably, you know, a minute from my car, and I'm walking up. You know, and then, you know, I turned my phone off where I'm listening to the game, and I get in the car, and they said 3-0. I said, what are they talking about? You know, and then I got on my phone. I saw Urias hit the home run, you know. So I think, like you said, Bob, it kind of lets them relax, especially Lyles and everybody. You know, you kind of take a deep breath and like, okay, you know. And then they just continued. Whenever they needed a run, seemed like they got one. They responded. The thing that was impressive about the O's was they got the lead. Then Toronto responded, and then boom, right away the Orioles got that run back or whatever. Yeah, so to me that was big.
Biggio went deep in the third. Orioles back to back home runs.
Yep.
Santander also went deep, and then when Chapman hit his, Hayes answered that one.
Yep.
Tate gave up a couple of runs, but Felix Bautista, who's stepped in nicely, thank you very much, for Jorge Lopez as the closer, he picks up his sixth save. Fifth save, gets the double play to end the game. So 7-4 was the final score last night. Oriole Park at Camden Yards. Things are going to be a little tougher tonight because Alec Manoah is a beast.
Right. He's an all-star pitcher, too.
He's a beast. He's big. He's strong. 12 wins. He's a dominant, dominant pitcher. Kyle Bradish has one win. So you would think, and the odds makers do, have Toronto as the favorites. But I think at this stage of the game, and we heard Brandon and I talking about it, we're looking at standings. You certainly have to look at pitching matchups because you do scouting reports on the games. But they're not going to be intimidated, overwhelmed at the thought of facing Alec Manoah. Now, once he throws his first pitch, all bets are off. Now you're playing.
Right.
But going into the game, they understand it's a tall order and runs might be at a premium. Tonight, you're not 7 runs tonight might not be a reality unless you keep it close and get into Toronto's bullpen.
Well, this is the hottest day of the year today, Bob. I mean, there's heat warnings.
Really?
Yeah. So it's going to be humid. So maybe the balls will be flying out some. I don't know. But like you said, Bob, they're going against a beast tonight. And maybe they're playing some small ball. Maybe they're going to be bunting, trying to move people and stealing. Yeah, Mateo got thrown out again.
Well, maybe he's got tired legs in August. But with tonight's game, we'll preview it later with Rich Dubroff. Matter of fact, coming up bottom of the hour, a bloop and a blast. That's all you need. You can't have this like a formulated game plan. I mean, you'd have to improvise and adapt. And if, Arias gets one off the fist and then the next guy hits a 2-run shot, you'll take it.
Yeah.
Take it in a big, big way. I mean, you're not going to have a guy on first in the second inning and bunt him over to second, put a guy in scoring position. That's not how they play baseball nowadays. Maybe later in the game, that could be part of the reality. But the bottom line is yesterday, the Orioles win 7-4, win the opener of this 3-game series. And with the win, they move to within a game of the wild card because Seattle lost to the Yankees last night.
Yeah, we're cheering for the Yankees. Got to win. If they could, you know, win that series, that would be big. You know, because, Bob, the odds that the Orioles are going to win 3 straight from Toronto, probably not. I mean, if you win 2 or 3, that's all.
Fangraphs says it's still 4% they even get into the playoffs.
Really?
Yeah. Because the schedule is pretty difficult.
Yeah,
moving
that's true. They got,
here.
What, 31 games against the East?
See, there was one last night.
Yeah.
They were underdogs last night at home.
Oh, they were?
Oh, yes, they were. And then they beat Toronto. But, yes, I know it's sinful for true Baltimoreans to root for the Yankees, but you're not catching them. It's not like you're going to win the division. So you need them to do you a solid and beat up on the Mariners here. And we'll go down the list of games, Major League Baseball, how that affects the Orioles. But first things first, Birds win 7-4. If you're feeling good about it, and why wouldn't you be? Give us a call at 410-583-1057. And I tell you what, man, that Mike Elias, that zany guy, so much for screwing up the chemistry of the clubhouse. They're 6-1. 6-1 since then.
Now, do you think...
I was slightly worried, but not overly concerned about all of that. Now it's like nothing to see here. Please disperse.
Now, Bordy on Baltimore Baseball Tonight, He's a little concerned with the bullpen, right, Bob?
Because they're overworked.
Yeah.
Because, you know, 5 1/3.
And now you've taken one guy out of the rotation, you know?
So you're going to have to, you're going to need some length. And it may be Bradish. If he can give them 5 or 6, that's a good sign for them moving forward. Then the onus will be on Kramer to give them some length. But these 5-inning starts, you're going to have to improvise and adapt. They brought up an arm yesterday, and we'll get into all of that as well. So, yeah, the concerns are there because their bullpen's as many innings as any team in baseball. I mean, Tampa is up there because they use these openers
right
more often than not.
Well, and plus you're taking Lopie out, you know, so guys got to work even more.
Well, they're just moving up the food chain is all that. Roles, that's not working more. Roles have changed more than anything. Crable's now Batista. Batista's now Lopie.
I wasn't crazy about Crable last night.
Yeah, well, you know, things happen.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But all in all, the bullpen's been one of the big surprises of Major League Baseball here in 2022. Orioles and Blue Jays, we're talking to Rich Dubrow, bottom of the hour. Vinny, you were out at Ravens camp.
Yep.
2 days away from a preseason opener, the 11th against Tennessee. And last practice in pads, but this week for sure, in pads, but J.K. Dobbins. And we got the news around 1:30 that he was there off pup. So what did he do?
He did drills. He was over on the other field, you know, doing drills. And then Davis was over there with him, you know, so it was like two of them doing drills. He looks thick. Dobbins looks thick. The knee is not there yet. See, I'm guessing he's still 5% from getting total flexion because he doesn't have total yet. It's still a little stiff, the left knee. You know, and you could tell because he drags it a little bit, you know, but he's got a month to go. So this is day one. And, you know, that last flexion, the last 5-10 degrees, that's hard, you know. And he's coming back rather quickly from all of this, too. So
yeah, less than a year.
Yeah. Is he there yet? No. You know, looked like he had a little burst and stuff, though. So... but he doesn't have the flex, and, you know, could he go through a whole practice? The big thing, Bob, is how sore he is today. I'm sure when he went in yesterday, you know, I'm sure they iced it down pretty good and everything, and see how he is when he wakes up. Is it stiff, when he gets up this morning? Is it stiff, or does it feel good? Hopefully it feels good, and he can continue to keep making progress.
Good news is he's back.
Yes.
And if he's off the pup and he's back at pads, he's back at practice, him playing against the Jets now seems like a certainty, right? September 11th?
He'd have to have a setback not to.
It's Vinny at Haney 105.7 The Fan. It's Turn It Up Tuesday. We're cracking it up to 11. What do you want to hear loud? We'll play it for you. Send your request. Plaza Sports Tax Line at 410-583-1057. Talk more Ravens. John Harbaugh disputes the Liz Frank.
Report
for Tyler Lindebaum. We'll talk about that. As we said, Rich Dubrow, BaltimoreBaseball.com, joins us bottom of the hour. Mike Elias's first draft was Adley Rutschman, his first pick. Now, in Baltimore, was the number one prospect in baseball. His second pick was Gunnar Henderson. Now, the number one prospect in baseball. How about that, Mike Elias? We'll talk to Rich about that more here on The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, put your headphones in. And ignore your coworkers. 105.7 The Fan.
Yeah, I thought he looked pretty good in the individual. First day back, he was out there in individual. You guys saw him moving around, running the ball handling drill. That'll be the first step. Maybe we add a little more every day and kind of see how he handles it and see how the knee responds. But it seems like it's so far so good.
John Harbaugh, Ravens head coach, talking about J.K. Dobbins, number 27 in your program, number one in your heart. Back on the practice field yesterday, which is a great sign because he got hurt, and we all saw it in that preseason finale against Washington, and he was done for the year.
Yeah,
and
it was ugly too.
And it seemed, I saw it, and it seemed like, because I texted you, I said, Dobbins just got blown up.
Yeah.
He's done. Because you were, I think, in Michigan somewhere. And then Gus Edwards got hurt like the next week, and now, which we didn't see. Now, that one looks to be the more severe of the injuries because as Dobbins is back in pads, Gus Edwards, you don't know when he's coming back at all.
Yeah. I mean, he's definitely not playing in the Jets, and more than likely, he may not even be playing for a long while. So that's why this running back competition, you know, all right, Dobbins, and then who's 2 and 3? That's what's going to be worked out here in the preseason games. You know, they're fighting for 2 and 3 because I, you know, if I can be the 2, they've been known to play 2 backs a lot. So sure. I'm going to get a lot of run if I'm that 2 back.
Yeah, we're going to hear from Mike Davis and Justice Hill throughout the course of the program. But how do you ramp Dobbins? Do you play him in the preseason?
No. He's just, you know, he's played in enough games. You just got to go by his feel. I mean, that, you know, when you're rehabbing your knee like that, you go by your feel. How do you feel? You know, does it hurt? Does it, you know, today, how's it feel? You know, and then can we do more? And if it, you know, if there's no stiffness or anything today, okay, we'll add a little bit more. And like Harbs was saying, each day add a little bit more. So, you know, and then I'm guessing on Thursday, probably go through some pregame type stuff.
Sure.
You know, and then go get ice.
I mean, you don't want to coach scared, but I'm guessing it's in the back of John Harbaugh's head that, you know, he got hurt playing in the final preseason game because we were talking last year. Well, when do you play Lamar? Do you play Lamar? I mean, the McVay doesn't play his starters at all during the preseason, and they've been to a couple Super Bowls and have won one over the last 4 years. I mean, they've kind of set maybe a template for the rest of the league. But then again, Vinny, you do want to coach football, and you want your starters to get some game action
right.
at some point.
But, you know, the Ravens are doing things totally different this year than they've ever done, Bob. You know, I mean, because of what happened last year. So what's going to be interesting is who's playing on Thursday night. That's going to be the interesting thing. You know, who's going to play? What starters are going to play? Because some of those guys, you know, I mean, Bateman's a starter, but Bateman needs some work. You know, some of these guys need work. You know, and Bob, if Juwan James needs work. He hadn't played in a couple years. He needs to play.
3 games since 2019 he has
played. Falele needs all the reps he can get. A lot of these guys need as many reps as they can get. Likely needs to play. All these rookies, they need to play. They need to get some game experience. So, you know, the Zeitlers of the world and Klaas, you can almost kind of go through the list and kind of figure out, you know, who's not going to play. Boyle's not playing. Andrews not playing. You know, so running backs, they'll all play other than Dobbins. Ricard, maybe, maybe not. I don't know. Quarterbacks, other than Lamar, they're all going to play. Wide receivers, they all need to play, my opinion. You know, and maybe Bateman, get him a couple passes and get him out. That's probably the thing with him. And then O-line, McCarry's got to, you know, playing at center. But Morgan Moses won't, I wouldn't play Moses or Zeitler. Other than that, everybody goes.
Probably a prudent decision.
Yeah.
I would think.
And then defensively, Queen needs to play. You know, all those linebackers need to play. And don't you think Oway, he needs some work. You know, he needs some rushes.
Well, Humphrey's not playing.
No, Humphrey's not
pretty
playing.
Much already said that's
Williams
not
playing, you know.
But so, Hamilton is, like, to your point about the rookies, they got to be out there.
Oh, he's got to play. You know, and Michael Pierce, probably not playing. Calais Campbell probably, you know, is not playing. You know, those other guys need to play. But like you said, Bob, I mean, somebody's got to play. I mean, they're playing a game.
Yeah, the other team, Tennessee, he's going to try. Now, a guy that's not going to play is Tyler Linderbaum. But yesterday, this news came out when we were on the air, that NFL Network reporting it, that it was a Liz Frank sprain, and Dr. Harbaugh disputes that diagnosis.
That's not true. Ooh. That's not true. It's not a Liz Frank sprain. There is a ligament. It's not that ligament. It's a different ligament. So he's had the Liz Frank before. There's no separation. There's no Liz Frank sprain per se. That's my understanding. You know, I'm not a doctor, but I play one in press conferences, as you know, but that's what I was told.
So shooting down that diagnosis yesterday, but NFL Network probably got that intel from somebody.
I'm guessing he got it from where do those guys get their information from? Agents. So I'm guessing Linderbaum's agent told him that. And is it true, Bob? 50, you know, because a lot of times Harbs has said stuff and it wasn't the right stuff, you know.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so I'm not saying that it's not, you know, Liz Flank.
Whatever it is, though,
he's out for a couple weeks.
Yeah, that's what's concerning, I guess,
and it's
for
his
them.
Foot, right. Because the kid's a good football player and he needs to play. He needs to play. It'd be nice if he could get in at least the last preseason game.
It's Vinny and Haiti, 105.7 The Fan. It's Turning Up Tuesday. When we come back, Rich Dubrow, BaltimoreBaseball.com. Talk about those red hot Orioles. They won 15 of 19 at home, 6 of 7 overall. They're a game out of the wild card on August the 9th. Who would have thunk it? Not me.
Training camp.
Oh, he broke his ankle.
Has arrived. Your home for the most Ravens coverage. 105.7 The Fan.
.705 first pitch tonight. Oriole Park in Camden Yards. Game 2 of an exciting 3-game series. Orioles and Blue Jays. Wild card positioning very much in play. Orioles win the opener last night 7-4 behind 4 home runs of Jordan Lyles. Felix Bautista closing things up in the 9th inning. Game 2 coming up. We got Baltimore baseball tonight. Me and Mike Bordick, 6 o'clock live from Pickles. Come on down. Say hello if you're going to the game. Let's make it 2 in a row for the Birds of Baltimore over the Blue Jays. But joining us now to talk about not just last night's win, the state of the organization, and in particular the minor league system post-trade deadline, from BaltimoreBaseball.com. Let's welcome in on the Regency Furniture Hotline. He is Rich Dubroff. Rich, good morning. What's going on? Thanks for the time as always.
Yes, good morning, Bob. Good morning, Vinny.
Good morning there, Rich.
All right, but we don't want to get into Ozzie Newsome drafting Jonathan Ogden and Ray Lewis with his first draft. Two Hall of Famers right out of the gate. But Mike Elias takes Matt Wieters takes Adley Rutschman with his number one pick in Baltimore, making an impact. I mean, just look at the record since he got called up, you know. Do your own conclusions there. And then the second pick, a guy that was committed to Auburn, that extra cake they saved for Rutschman signing for a little bit less, was Gunnar Henderson. Baseball America rated him as the number one prospect in baseball. It's been a long time. We know the Oriole way, going back to the 60s and 70s and all the great prospects they developed, but I don't think it's been back-to-back number one prospects for the Orioles, and certainly – and I know Mike Elias has a lot of detractors out there, Rich, as do you. But you know, his first two picks, number one prospects in baseball, I don't know if you can get any better than that. Now, whether they turn out to be Hall of Famers, time will tell that story.
Well, you know, Bob, I think it's pretty interesting that you have in the same draft Rutschman and Henderson. And a lot of people were saying at the time that they thought that it was a great pick by the Orioles, that Henderson was going to turn out really well, and to have him as the number one prospect, I was actually a little surprised when I heard about that yesterday. But you know, also Grayson Rodriguez, who's still hurt, who came to the system just before Mike Elias did, is the number four overall prospect in Baseball America and top pitcher. So, and having 6. Players in the top 100, it's pretty impressive, especially because a lot of people said that they thought the Orioles farm system would drop off once Rutschman came to the big leagues, and that's turned out not to be the case.
Now, Rich, we look at the Orioles where they are in the wild card chase, a game out, but Henderson, you would think, done for the year, probably because of the lat, but Gunner's in AAA. And, you know, how does Mike Elias fight the urge to maybe give him a September cup of coffee? We don't have the expanded rosters like we did way back when. So you're kind of dealing with guys that are going to help you get to the postseason. But, I mean, could there be a chance, however slight it would be, that Gunnar Henderson sees Baltimore this year, not next year?
There is. I'd say it's 50-50. You know, if the fans don't remember, rosters are expanded by just 2 players to 28 on September 1st. So they could, you know, They could add him. They could add him before. But in a lot of ways, you don't want to upset what's going on in the field right now. You have Urias, who's playing, who's hitting really well, 12th home run last night, and playing a creditable third base. Odor, who's turned a really good double play to end the game last night. You know, how much of it is, well, you don't want to upset things that are going well. But if he thinks that he can make the club better by 2 inches, sort of what the Orioles did, exactly 10 years ago mm-hmm. today when they brought up Manny Machado. I mean, that's what Buck Showalter said. You know, if we can just make the club better by 2 inches, that's what we're trying to do. So, the club can always get better. The starting pitching can always get better. So if they think that Henderson is ready, if they think that he can significantly contribute, they will do that. I wouldn't be surprised if they brought him up.
Yeah, and Rich, the thing that I was thinking about was, look at the difference that Rutschman has made. And then your argument about you don't want to disrupt stuff. They traded Mancini and Lopez. That was a disruption, and they're 6-1 since then. I don't think we'll see him come up until we see him start to play some third base. Because didn't 10 years ago, according to what Bob told me, was that they started playing Manny a lot at third down in Norfolk, in Bowie.
Working him out at third base.
Working him out at third, to get him ready. And, the way Henderson, what else does he got to do at Norfolk to show that he can play? I mean, he gets hits in every game he can play. So if you can add that, look at they were what, 31-39 and Rutschman came? And now look where they're at. So maybe adding another guy, like Henderson, would be an asset once you get going.
Well, yeah, except on the other hand, look where they were offensively behind the plate before Rutschman, with Chirinos and Bemboom. That wasn't, that offensively wasn't cutting it. Whereas offensively, they're a little better in the,
Odor's hit, what, 195?
Yeah, but he's playing, a decent second base, and they're looking at him as a clubhouse leader, and they could always
put a coaching jersey on him.
But they could always use, they don't have to necessarily cut Odor if they bring up Henderson.
Mm-hmm.
They could still keep him. They could cut somebody else. So I think it has a decent chance of happening, especially now that, the wild card is in sight. You know, a few weeks ago, even after the 10-game winning streak, we just thought, oh, well, let's see if they can keep it up. And then they treaded water for a couple of weeks, and now they're back, playing really well again. So, it's starting to look more real right now, Benny.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. And Bob.
Rich. I'm right here. What's up?
Rich, I mean, the confidence. Yeah, and I was telling Bob earlier, they get up 3-0, then Toronto responds, and boom, then they respond back right away. It's kind of fun to watch because they have resolve. They're not if something bad happens, they don't get in a tank. I mean, they fight right back and take advantage of the next situation.
Well, it's really it's really fun. It's really fun to watch, and I think the defense is a huge reason. You look at the plays that Mateo mm-hmm. has made. You look at Cedric Mullins in center field. One thing that people aren't talking about is how excellent his defense has been this year, much better than it was last year when he was when he was 30-30. People get so focused on offense, and they think, well, he's not having such a great year because he's not hitting home runs. Well, he is having a great year. He's just not hitting that many home runs. He's stealing bases, and he's playing a brilliant center field. And you look up the middle with Mateo at short and Rutschman behind the plate and Mullins in center field. Well, that's a really good team defensively, and that's why they stay in games.
Rich Dubrow, BaltimoreBaseball.com. Orioles Blue Jays tonight, 7:05, game two of this three-game set. Rich, what's happening on the website? I'm sure a lot.
Well, coverage of the Orioles wild card chase, and news from the minor leagues, and lots of Orioles news when it happens.
Rich, appreciate the time as always. See you later today.
Okay, look forward to it. Thank you, Bob. Yep. Thank you, Vinny.
Enjoy the game tonight, Rich.
Rich Dubrow, BaltimoreBaseball.com. We'll take your phone calls at 410-583-1057. Kevin Allstriker covers the Ravens. USA Today joining us at the top of the hour. Maryland football, first padded practice coming up at 2:30 today. You're trying to get the coach to the atomic bomb following Maryland football on the few weeks left before the season opener September 3rd against Buffalo. Of course, we're the flagship home of Maryland football here on The Fan.
Until the Gold Club opens.
Make it rain.
Vinny and Haiti.
Better grab an umbrella.
1057 The Fan.
All right, turn it up Tuesday, cranking up the tunes. Orioles cranking up the heat on the Blue Jays. Weather cranking up the heat on everybody trying to play football in August in pads. It is what it is. Jimi Hendrix cranking it up to 11 on Turn It Up Tuesday. Kevin Allstriker talking Ravens with him from the USA Today. Ravens Wire, 11 o'clock. And then we got the whip around, 11:15. Coaches poll came out college football yesterday.
Yep.
And there's only one score that mattered for the Orioles in the wild card, but it was a positive result. We'll get into that and more, but let's get out to the phones. Orioles 7-4 over the Blue Jays last night. Tom in Rising Sun. Tom, what's up?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good, Tom.
I got some player moves, and tell me what you guys think. You bring Gunnar Henderson up, put him on third base. You take Urias, put him on second base. You bring Stowers up from the minors, put him in left field, make Santander your DH. And what do you think about those moves?
Well, thank you for the call. You got to put some of these guys on the 40-man roster, too, which is one of the issues that Elias would have to deal with. You have guys on the 40-man that are going to be gone off of it.
Right.
Ryland Bannon, for instance, got claimed by the Dodgers. As you manipulate your roster the best you can. I think Stowers, we were talking about him because we all assume, or I did anyway, that Santander was going to get traded.
Yeah.
And then he was going to come up and take over in the outfield. Santander's been their most productive power guy.
No doubt.
All year long. Arias at second base, I've got no problem with that.
Mm-hmm.
I like Terran Vavra.
I do, too.
At that spot, too. And with Manoa and Barrios tomorrow, right-handers back-to-back, it will be interesting to see what Hyder's going to do with his lineup. Because Odor played third on Sunday.
Right.
And, Ofer with a couple of Ks. And Rich brought it up. I mean, we talk about the clubhouse chemistry. He's a very important part of it, positively.
Right.
And he started the binoculars, the home run chain. That's all him. He's one of the few guys that's got postseason experience. But it's all a production-based business, too.
Right.
And as you're now a game out of the wild card, you're probably thinking you're still all in, yeah. I would guess.
Well, Bob, let's go back to before.
And remember, Henderson's not on the 40-man roster.
Right.
So you got to get rid of somebody. It's like the 90-man roster in football.
Yeah. Well, when you're talking – well, if it's like that, Bob, there's like 35 to 40, you know – guy, 35 to 40 on that roster, okay. If I got to get rid of one of those guys, I'm sure that's not a tough decision.
Let's get back to the phones. Let's go to Baltimore. It's Ray. Ray, you're on the fan.
What's going on, fellas?
Hey, Ray.
What's up,
good
Ray?
Good talking to y'all as always, man. Hey, Bob, I'm going to talk to you about some boxing next week, man, with the whole AJ situation.
Oh, no doubt.
I'll wait until next week, but take you on a flashback real quick. 2012. Vinny was with Rob bitten about, Cundiff. And, nobody wasn't sure about Justin Tucker, this rookie. 2012, Manny Machado got called up. I think the Orioles were 60-51. They called him up. They wound up going 33-18, winning 93 games. So the bigger point of what I'm saying is this is a Chris Bryan, Vlad Guerrero Jr. situation all over again. Nobody's calling it out because, listen, I like Mike Elias. I like what he's doing. But he's manipulating service time, and nobody's calling him out on it because Gunnar Henderson is beyond ready. So this is what thoughts I want to get as, you know, I take it off of that. Vinny, what is your celebratory remarks on Justin Tucker's new deal? Because I didn't catch you yesterday, and I know you would champion him when he was an undrafted rookie. And, Bob, I want to get your thoughts on Gunnar Henderson and the possible manipulation of the service time. I'll let y'all later, Playboy.
All right, Ray. Yeah, thanks for the call.
Yeah, with Tucker, to me, he's by far the best, you know. Yeah. And he deserves whatever he gets. And I to me, it was great by the Ravens. Steve Bisciotti, the people that get on Bisciotti, you know, he paid him $1 million more than the other kicker. You know, so I think it was a good job by Eric and those guys. I think they did a fabulous job. And sends a good message to the locker. You know, they're taking care of a guy that is a weapon. You know, he's the best kicker in the game. You know, so they're paying him the highest. My thing, you know, when I saw that, okay, he's the best. You know, is Lamar the best quarterback in the league? No.
No.
So, you know, they're paying Tucker like the best. And I would think if they thought that Lamar was the best quarterback in the league, they would pay him appropriately. So I think that's what the difference is the what – the Ravens, where the Ravens think Lamar is and where Lamar thinks he is, Lamar's not Justin Tucker, is what I'm saying.
So don't want to digress too much into Lamar's right. contract, but Ravens are offering Lamar money among the top 5 to 8 quarterbacks in the league, which you can make a case that
which he deserves.
Right, but not the number one quarterback. At least on August the 9th,
right? Because if you polled any of those people on TV or any player, and you say, okay, who's the number one kicker in the country? I would bet it would be 99% would say Justin Tucker. Now, and we've seen when the polls are for the quarterback,
not even in the top 10,
right? So that's my point. You know, he wants above what Aaron Rodgers is getting.
Now, to Ray's point about manipulating service time for Henderson.
Right.
Yeah, probably. I mean, here's a guy that has ascended to the number one prospect status in baseball. And Manny was one of the premier prospects when he came up 10 years ago. Today,
When did they add Manny to the 40, Bob?
When he got called. I think he may have, I don't know for sure, but he may have been on the 40-man roster before he got recalled.
Okay.
I'm not sure. Keep in mind, it was 10 years ago.
Right.
Today.
But I mean, like, so with his service
time. That's unbelievable.
With his service time, they said, screw it, we want him to play.
Wait, and third base was a wasteland for them.
Well, it kind of is now.
Well, Arias is doing a solid job there.
Yeah. But I mean, like, between second, you could use a guy. Because you can put Arias at second and then Henderson at third.
But I'm just guessing. Right. I don't know this to be fact.
No, you're more the baseball expert.
But I'm saying as Elias thinking, all right, I bring this guy up now.
Right.
Stick him at third.
Yep.
Start the service clock to get to the playoffs and not really know where we're going to go. Because this is a guy that said a week ago that we might get in, but we're not going to win the World Series. More or less, and then walked it back and had to fly to Texas and basically apologize to the team
right.
for what he was saying. Or do you go, well, let him get a little more seasoning, and then we'll see 2023 Cubs up, and then we just bring him up for a full $162. I don't know what he's thinking,
to be
honest with you.
Yeah, because, Bob, maybe he's a guy that brings you the juice that Rutschman brought you, you know?
Right. Because Manny made a spectacular play very first game that he played. Let's go to New Jersey. It's Ed. Ed, you're on the Fan.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
Good.
Hey, listen, last night I was watching the game, and after the game was over, you feel pumped. I decided to turn on the Yankees in the Seattle game. You know, out in Seattle, the stadium was filled yesterday. Can you guys explain to me why the Orioles fans didn't come out last night or – maybe not come out tonight. They were out Saturday. Saturday was electric.
But there was a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah, they had on us, and they were out in force.
Right. I can't answer the question as to why Seattle fans show up and Oriole fans don't. When's the last time you've been to a game, Ed?
Last year I went to an Orioles game.
Right. You know, it's I'm not making excuses for fans. You'd have to ask the individual people of Baltimore, those in the listening audience, why they don't show up. I mean, I can't speak for the entirety of the city.
Let me just say this. Like, my kids,
about what we're doing now.
My kids both went, and I mean, they're not the
biggest baseball fans. Yeah, but you got free tickets, though.
Not Saturday.
Oh, you paid for those?
All three of them.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, it was $100.
Oh, woohoo. Look at Vinny spending some money. I don't know why people aren't going. There could be multiple reasons. Ed, what's your theory on it?
Well, you know, I noticed a trend starting right around 5 or 6 years ago. And you guys would have to tell me because I'm not from the area, although I've been a longtime fan. Is the city of Baltimore safe?
Well, if you read the statistics, it is one of the more violent cities in the United States. But do you think that's the deterrent for why they don't show up to the games?
I don't know. But, I mean, I look at all the major cities along the East Coast, and I live here next to Philadelphia. They're having issues, although they're still drawing at their sporting events. I don't know, really. I went to Fan Fest 2 years ago or 3 years ago, and the convention center was packed.
Right.
So the fans are there. Why they're not coming out to the game, especially now, I don't know. I don't know who can answer that question, but it just befuddles me after watching Seattle pack the stadium last night against the Yankees.
Mm-hmm. All right, Ed, that's a great call. Putting a bummer trying to on a positive stretch of Orioles baseball here. Attendance decline has been well documented over the last few years. Can you put your finger on one thing? I can't. You can assume things all you want. I'm down there 50 times a year. Yeah. I'll be down there tonight, as a matter of fact, and Pickles has a nice crowd on a nightly basis.
And Bob, maybe so, you know, it's supposed to be 100 degrees today or whatever.
Now, that might be a deterrent, too.
Yeah, I mean, who wants to sit there in your sweat? You know, I mean, when you can watch it on TV, you know, you sit like you know, that's what I'll be doing. I'll be sitting having a glass of wine watching the game.
There's a reason we spent $300 on cable bills. Right. Vinny at 81.057 The Fan. When we come back, Kevin Allstriker is going to be joining us USA Today. Talk about the Ravens. They start their preseason two nights from now.
Yes, they do.
Against the Tennessee Titans, downtown Baltimore. Think there'll be 70,000 people at that game?
Yeah, I'm saying about 45.
And then the whip around at 11:15. College football, the coaches poll came out. Hey, that Nick Saban does a lot of belly aching, but then again, he's pretty much reloaded and reinvigorated at the top of the rankings. We'll talk about the top five and how that's looking here on this August the 9th. And then we got Nick Vespi, Orioles left-handed reliever, talking about the role that he's got right now. The bullpen's changed a little bit with Lopez off to Minnesota. Very prominent part of it from the left side. Nick Vespi, Burge, 11:30 here on The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.